guiding influence of that star. There may have been hostile tribes during the journey. There may have been broad rivers to cross. There may, no doubt, was miles of trackless desert. And I'm sure there were numerous difficulties and challenges and obstacles. But they submitted to God's guidance. And where did they end up? They saw Him. And they fell down and worshiped. If you're going to worship on the Lord's day, you have to follow the Lord's guidance through the week. If you're going to worship every day, and we ought to worship every day, you need to follow the Lord's guidance. God's guidance will always bring you to the place of worship. It will always bring you to the place of Jesus Christ. Now, I don't know what you might have to endure following that guidance, but I do know where you'll end up. You'll end up in the presence of Christ, just following His direction. Perhaps there were times that it didn't make sense how that star was leading them. That's not the issue. You trust the star. You trust the guidance of the Lord. So they simply followed the direction of God. And as they followed the direction of God, what were they doing? They were progressing toward Christ. And so it is with you and I. If we're going to worship God, we have to follow His direction. And following His direction, we're getting closer and closer and closer to Christ. And the final result is they saw Him. They fell down and worshiped Him. And if we're going to arrive at that point, we have to be divinely directed. Have to be divinely directed. I do not believe that the Lord is going to direct you to go to a ball game rather than the house of God on the Lord's day. I don't believe it. Well, it's my grandson playing. I don't care who's playing. The Lord is not going to direct that way. He's going to direct toward Christ. And we must follow His direction and do not allow anything or anybody to deter us from the direction of God. And if we just follow His direction, as you're following, a lot of things can happen. A lot of things can happen that'll challenge your faith. But if you just keep on following, you'll end up where these men ended up, in the presence of Christ. Also, there was preparation to worship. Worship requires preparation. When they first saw His star, they immediately began to make arrangements to prepare for the journey. Every day we ought to be making arrangements to get to this place where we can worship. So they see the star. They begin to pack their bags. They get their mode of transportation, whatever it was. They get it ready. And they fill their treasure chests with gold and frankincense and myrrh. And imagine the reaction of their family and friends as they saw them preparing for this trip. They would ask the stupid question, "You going somewhere?" And their reply, "Yes, we are." That would lead to the next question, "Well, where are you going?" Their reply, "Don't know. Don't know for sure. But you see that star? We're going to follow it. We're just going to follow that star." Someone might ask, "Well, how far are you going to go?" And they would reply, "Well, we don't know that either. But we're going to follow that star. How long are you going to be gone? Well, we don't know that either. Someone might say, for wise men, you sure don't know much. And they would say, well, we know this. You see that star? That star tells us that the one that the scriptures speak of has been born. And he's already king, and he's worthy of all. And we're going to follow that star. And that star is going to lead us to him. And we're going to worship him. They had faith. And they followed the direction of God. And they made preparation. That needs to be us. These wise men were leaving worldly associations to worship him. Worship involves a separation from the concerns of everyday life. There's something that people don't understand today about separation, about leave and cleave. Married couples today, they have no understanding of what it means to leave. And parents don't understand it either because they're always getting to come back. Leave and cleave. But the same principle applies for worship. If you're going to worship, you've got to leave some things. You got to leave worldly associations. And that's why I think it is worthy of much thought. Are we even capable of worship today? Because there aren't many that leave the world. They make sure they drag their cell phones into the church building. And again, what are you going to do if it rings? Well, I'm going to answer it. Is that worship? Is that worship? You are already planning to be interrupted. Is that leaving? That's not leaving. That's not leaving. They left in order to worship God. There has to be a coming apart in order to worship God. There has to be a separation from that which is profane and secular. Someone says, well, I gotta bring my phone in. Work might call. What is it that you don't understand? I have to leave the secular. That's your job. The secular if I'm going to worship. And if you're on call when you're in the house of God, you haven't left it. And you only think you're worshiping. You have to leave. You have to leave the secular. You have to leave the profane. And so they leave their country. They leave their homes. They leave their loved ones. They leave their friends. They leave everything that they were accustomed to worship this one. Again, I think many people need to ask, can I even worship God today? Because people don't want to leave. We live in this time of connectivity. And we feel we have to be connected with what's going on out there, even when we come to the house of God. We might miss something. Oh, you're missing something. Missing worship. So there must be this leaving. This involves a rising above self. It involves a rising above self-interest and self-ways and self-concerns and plans. If we're going to worship, self must be out of the way. Keep on following the direction of the Lord. And what happens? You get further away from home. As they made that journey and followed that star, they were getting further and further and further away from home, away from their comfort zone. But they were getting closer the Christ. That has to be us. So they arrive. Verse 11, they saw the young child. They are in his very presence. That's what happens when you follow the Lord. You will end up in the presence of God. People say, "Well, I tried that, and my life just got more difficult." You didn't try it long enough. Because if you would have kept on, you would have ended up in the very presence. And you would have fallen down. And you would have worshipped. It's absolutely necessary. They saw him. They saw the young child. He was real. We don't worship an imaginary God. That's idolatry. He's real. And this is absolutely necessary to true worship. He has to be real. They saw the young child. There was an awareness of what was before them. They weren't just looking at a child. They were looking at a king. They were looking at the Son of God. God Himself. And they were aware of it. They were aware of whose presence they were in. And the more they became aware, the greater the wonder, the greater the marvel, the greater the amazement that came upon them. And they began to feel a deeper reverence for their young child. They began to have a higher esteem. And they're standing there and they're in awe. Worship requires awe. We live in a religious world that has brought God down to below man, which does away with awe. And if you don't have awe, you don't have worship. But there they stood, aware of who he is. And they're filled with awe and respect. And respect. And affection begins to overflow their hearts and their minds. And they fell down. They fell down. And as we said this morning, this was not choreographed. They didn't make that journey and said, "You know, when we get there, we'll stand there for 5 minutes and then you fall down and then the rest of us will fall down." No, they saw the young child. They're very much aware of whose presence they're in. This wonder and amazement comes over them. And they couldn't do anything but fall down. They fell down before him. Not concerned about what Mary and Joseph thought or anybody else. Many times we get too concerned with what everybody else might think. We need to worship. We need to worship. So there they are. They're now fallen down before him. They're humbled. They've been set free from whatever pride was in them. It's gone. Whatever self-sufficiency or self-reliance or self-confidence they might have had, it's gone. They fell down. And they feel their own unworthiness to be in his presence. And their hearts are tender. And they're overflowing with peace and joy and assurance. This is him. Overflowing with satisfaction. It's been worth the whole journey. And they're filled with delight of soul. And there they are before him.
And then it says, and worshiped him. And worshiped him. I don't know. I give worship a lot of thought, and it's usually pretty depressing. But I don't know how many times I've really worshiped the Lord. Maybe I never have. I mean true worship of God. But oh, what a wonderful thing. What a sacred moment. They worshiped Him. That's special. They worshiped Him. You can't worship Him if your heart's not united to Him. They have forgotten all about home. Forgotten everything about that place. Their heart is entirely united to Him. That's worship. And again, I have to question, I speak concerning myself. Is that ever so? They worshiped Him. They were seized by Him. He had their full attention. How often does the Lord have our full attention? And some people say, well, almost all the time. You need to define full for me then. Because you and I have a different definition of full. They're overcome with love and praise and thanksgiving. A lot went on in those words. They worshiped Him. That includes everything that worship involves. Worship involves commitment. Be committed to Him. Worship involves surrender. They're exalting Him. They're magnifying Him. They're honoring Him. And we've already seen how they got to that place. They're deeply affected by that Christ child. It has deeply affected their soul. That's worship. And as they're there on their knees before Him, it says when they had opened their treasures, all true worship involves a willingness to open it all. Just like the woman with the alabaster box of ointment. She opened that box and poured it all out. After this opening, we read they presented unto Him. All worship is unto Him. They presented unto Him gifts. They did so freely, voluntarily. No strings attached, with nothing expected in return. They worshiped. I've had people say to me, I've gone to church all my life, and then I got sick, or this happened, I lost my job, or whatever. And what they're saying is, I deserve better because I worship God. You didn't worship, because worship doesn't expect anything in return. It's unto Him. They presented unto Him gold, frankincense, and myrrh. There is no worship without presentation. There is no worship without giving to God. And that's why I believe when we give an offering, it ought to be a part of the worship service. I believe that. It ought to be a part of the worship service. And we make it here a part of the worship service. There was a willingness and readiness of heart to open those treasures. And then they let go. in all worship, there is a letting go. And that's willingly. It's like you can't do anything else. Because you're in His presence. And you're overcome with all this emotion. You're overcome with all these feelings. Yes, worship involves emotion and feelings. And you can't help it. You open and you give unto Him. But again, they didn't just stumble into that house. It took, we've already seen, the journey, the knowledge, the faith that it took to get to this place. Oh, may we every day strive to get to this place where we see Him. Well, how do I know when I see Him? You'll fall down. And you'll worship. And you'll open up. And you'll present unto Him. May we always be on that journey to that place. Again, I believe in the Lord's Day. I believe it's a special day. I believe we ought to worship God every day. And I believe worshiping God every day prepares us for the special worship of the Lord's Day. And I believe that we ought to, I don't believe that you ought to stay out on Saturday nights to all wee hours of the morning where you can hardly get out of bed to come to the house of God. You need to be making preparation for worship. But then we read in verse 12, and being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. Now I realize what is being said there was physical. They physically took a different route home because of the anger of Herod. But in all true worship, you'll go home a different way. Not physically, but in heart and mind and soul, you'll go home a different way. True worship changes individuals. True worship changes the way they go home. True worship changes homes. In this day when so many are trying to worship the Lord without ever leaving where they are. Now it's a big thing today. Go to church by Skype. That's pitiful. I'll stay home and I'll just get on Facebook and worship that way. You have to leave. There has to be a leaving. But there are many today who say they worship, they never leave where they are. And there is no worship outside the leadership of the Lord. And there is no worship without entering into His presence. And we ought to come expecting to enter into His presence. We live in a time when so many are trying to worship without being in His presence and without seeing Him and not experiencing any joy or any humility or any adoration or any thanksgiving or any praise, without feeling any submission, without feeling any commitment, without ever opening and presenting to Him, and they go home the exact same way they came in. They haven't done anything. True worship will send us home a different way. But again, there is a journey to get to this point. And we ought to be on that journey every single day. And every single day we ought to desire to see Him. to see Him, to fall down before Him, and to worship. We need to be these wise men. We need to be them. They serve a wonderful example to each one of us. And may I say that there is no better life to live than a life that is a journey to worship. No better way to spend the day than a journey to worship. And all through the day, we see it all through the Old Testament, people spontaneously worshiping God in everyday life. That ought to be us. That ought to be us. God help us to be a people of worship. Brother Larry, if you'd come and lead us.